What's up, Conference USA fans, and welcome back to another episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Jessica Rafford, and we only have three more weeks of conference play hoops left. Can you really believe it? In 3 weeks, we'll be in Huntsville, Alabama, which I'm very excited for this tournament. But before we get into basketball, we got softball and baseball, basketball, Kumite Bees, softball and baseball heating up. And of course, as when I'm in this seat, Eric Jones joins me on the show. And also, I want to give a huge shout out to Eric because not only is he in a communications role now, but you are over sports services for baseball. Yeah. So round of applause
thank you.
For that.
Thank you, thank you.
Had to give you a shout out. And as we're on topic of baseball, what is up with baseball right now?
Yeah, opening weekend is officially in the books. You know, we all talk about opening day in the MLB, us baseball fans. I mean, it's just as good in college baseball. There's, especially being here in the DFW area, you have so much baseball going on around us. You know, they host that big opening weekend at Globe Life with all those, you know, powerhouses. But yeah, some of our schools had some great, great weekends. La Tech, TBU, Kennesaw State all swept their weekends. Kennesaw didn't get to finish their last two games of the weekend, but they finished 2-0 on the weekend. DBU, I mean, we expected them to come out and sweep Binghamton. They did. Looked really, really good on the mound at the plate. Louisiana Tech gave it to Houston Christian this weekend. You know, they have a 4-game series, swept them. Their bats came alive. Their pitching looked really good as well as, you know, DBU as well. So Missouri State and Sam Houston and Liberty all had big road series wins. Missouri State going on the road to Louisiana. That was a big one. Their first year in the league. I'm going to really enjoy watching them play. Caden Bogenpohl, that guy is a monster at the plate. He's a center fielder. He had a sweet catch the other day, and he had a big home run, too, to propel them. They had a 7-run comeback, too, on Saturday to win that series. So super fun from them. Sam Houston with their down year last year, only winning 12 games. A big statement going on the road to McNeese and getting a series win. It's not an easy place to play. I've been down there once before, so good on them. And then Liberty as well, going to the Citadel and getting a big win. Ben Blair was absolutely lights out on the mound. He was our pitcher of the week this week. And that'll kind of get me into talking about, you know, this is probably one of the tougher pitcher of the week decisions I've ever had to make. And, of course, it comes week one of baseball season. You know, we had Ben Blair who won our pitcher of the week. He went 6 innings strong. Eight strikeouts, gave up one hit. But then you had other guy like Tate Hess from DBU. He went 5 innings out of the pen, perfect. Faced the minimum 15 batters. He was perfect in relief. Brooks Robertson went 6 innings, no runs. Michael Yusupchuk from Missouri State went 6 innings, no runs. Daniel Powell went 4 innings, 9 strikeouts, no runs. And then Aaron Robertson, WKU, went 4 innings and 7 strikeouts. Didn't give up a run. So it was really tough this week. And, you know, we ended up just going with the guy that, you know, went deepest and had the most strikeouts. He's our preseason pitcher of the year. So this guy's really, you know, already kind of solidified himself and that we liked him a lot. But even on the hitting side, we had Ryan Frandon, who won hitter of the week. This was a really tough decision, too. He was 6-for-14 this weekend with 3 home runs, a triple, and 9 RBIs. Ended up just going with him because of the production that he was able to make at the plate. He had, again, 9 RBIs, 4 extra base hits. Colby Lunsford from Louisiana Tech also had an outstanding week in their 4 games. He had 600 with 2 homers, 3 doubles, and 6 ribbies. So big time weekend on the mound and at the plate. Excited to watch CUSA baseball.
So not only do we have some death in our teams, we got some deaths on the team.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And some big games this weekend, too. Liberty's hosting number 25 West Virginia for a 3-game set. So definitely will have my eyes on that, especially Friday with Blair on the mound. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Not only is it a good time in baseball, softball, FIU is on an amazing run right now. They are off to a 9-2 start, including 4 wins over ACC foes. They defeated Georgia Tech twice in Gainesville this past weekend. Well, they went 1-1 against Marshall as well. They've just been having an outstanding just opening start to the season.
Yeah, FIU. We talked about it last week a little bit and seeing their big ACC wins, but now seeing them, yeah, do what they did this weekend. You know, off to 9-2 start. You know, it seems like they'd already played 3 weeks or 4 weeks with that record, but, you know, just 2 weeks in and hopefully they can, you know, obviously stay healthy and keep it going.
definitely just a momentum builder for them and just confidence builder as well, especially with those ACC wins. Louisiana Tech, they defeated nationally ranked South Eastern Louisiana in midweek play last week, and they're off to an 8-2 start. And I feel like, you know, Louisiana Tech is always at the top of our softball standings. So that is truly no surprise here for that.
No, no doubt. And yeah, I know going into the year had a lot of, I think they had their both the pitcher and player of the preseason, preseason of the year awards go to them. And yeah, this is just a team that, you know, plays a lot of good non-conference being down in the southern region of the United States and get to play in some warm climates, and especially get to practice in some warm climates is always big for these teams in the South. So yeah, again, just excited to see where this team is headed.
WKU pitching staff, they rank top 25 in ERA, strikeout to walk ratio, and whip. Erica Hughes and Maddie Wood have won the first two Pitcher of the Week awards, and they have combined for 6-1 to begin the year. So they are on fire at the mound right now.
Yeah, yeah. Pitching, I mean, people talk about defense winning games, pitching, especially early in the year. It's big for a pitching staff to get off to a good start, because it typically can take, you know, hitters a little while to kind of get in a groove at the plate, get the timing down. You know, they've been playing each other, you know, all fall and all, you know, winter time. And now they're finally seeing other pitching and other opponents that they haven't seen yet, maybe on the scouting reports, but not live, not in person. So it is huge for pitching staffs to get off to a hot start and kind of lead the way for the team. So good on them. They're pitching it really well right now and leading to some wins.
For men's basketball, we already know Liberty is on this 16-game winning streak, 14-0 in conference play now. But what else does Conference USA men's basketball have to offer?
Yeah, it was a crazy week last week, as is every week in this league. But, man, it feels like it was 2 weeks ago that Liberty hit that buzzer beater that we were just talking about. So there was just a lot of action this past week. And, you know, it was good to see Middle Tennessee kind of get back into winning in their winning ways a little bit. I know they ended up losing Saturday to rival WKU, but for them to go on the road and beat Kennesaw State, where Kennesaw has been so good at home, that was a big win for them. I know, I believe that one was on CBS too. So big win there. Let's talk about Delaware for a little bit first. They are on a 3-game win streak. This team has, you know, struggled a bit, but they've been in really, really tight games. We'll get an exclusive interview with Justin Fernandez. He was our player of the week this week. But he's just kind of talked about, you know, this team is just playing good basketball at the right time. That's really what this season is all about. You know, it really is, in a sense, a marathon of a season. And, yeah, they didn't start off conference play the right way that they wanted to. Their record's not beautiful. But if you look at the standings, they're, you know, 5-9, and they are 2 games back of the 4 seed. We have a log jam right there with, you know, Louisiana Tech, WKU, Missouri State, all 7-7 at 4, 5, and 6 spots. And then, yeah, a couple 6-8 teams in Kennesaw and middle. And then, yeah, so they're, I mean, 5-9, right? They're right in the mix to, you have one more good week and you are possibly looking at a middle of the pack seed.
Which, 6 games left. Yeah. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
Exactly, exactly. And they're in an okay spot right now to where, you know, they might be able to rattle off a few more wins here. And, but man, Justin Fernandez this week, he had 21 points, and then 23 again, against Missouri State.
4 straight 20-plus
yeah,
point games.
4 straight games with 20-plus. He is obviously in a groove right now. Just looking at his scoring, he had a career-high 9 rebounds against FIU in that big win too. You know, Christian Bliss too, he talked about, you know, just being roommates with him. They're both newcomers this year. Christian Bliss has taken off. These guys on Delaware are averaging like 38, 39 minutes a game, like, which is top 5, top 10 in the country in minutes played. These guys played the entire game, and they're obviously well-conditioned, especially at this point of the year. So excited to see where this Delaware team goes this week. But we got to talk about Liberty as well.
For sure.
14-0, 16-game win streak, as Jess said, 22-3 overall. You look at their last loss, it was to NC State. They lost by 40. And obviously things have changed drastically. This team, I don't know if that maybe just sent like a little – obviously that doesn't feel good. You lose by 40. But I'm excited to see where this team's at. This team is you know, it's nothing new. Like, it's Zach Cleveland show, and he's, you know, stuffing the stat sheet every single night. Cade Matheny, draining threes. Brett Decker still second in the country in 3-point shooting. But yeah, they are have a chance to tie a 16-0 mark, which is the best record ever set by, I think it's happened 5 different times. This is kind of confusing here, so bear with me. But there have been 5 teams that have gone 16-0. No team has gone undefeated in more than a 16-game league season. So we have had a few years where we've had, you know, this year, for example, is a 20-game season. Liberty has a chance to do, you know, something that no other team has ever done and going past the 16-0 threshold. So they'll get a chance to tie that mark. I believe 4 Memphis Tigers teams did that back in the 2000s, early 2010s, and then Cincinnati did it as well back in the early 2000s. So, yeah, they have a chance to join some elite history. I mean, all of those rosters were national championship contending teams back in the heyday. So, you know, I'm excited to see. Hopefully they can join some elite company and even move past that and set some new CUSA marks. But, yeah, Liberty's playing really well. Sam Houston's right there. But, again, like I said, standings right now, it's a logjam. Anything can really bend any sort of way. Sam Houston's at 9-5. Jack State's right behind them at 8-6, but then you have 7-7, 6-8. I mean, it's, you know, 3.5 games separate the 3 seed and the 12 spot right now. So a lot can happen. And really excited to see where things go on the men's side.
It's just each week, you just never know.
Yeah.
And I feel like we always say this, especially when it comes down to the wire. All these teams surprise you. You just never know. And then somebody always got that one little sleeper team like Delaware. Like, who would have known that this 3-game winning streak would have happened this deep into the season already? Yeah. And like you said, if they just keep on that trajectory, they could possibly literally be in the tournament. Because, you know, it was a couple weeks there. We was like, well, maybe not. You know, you just never know. But it's such a toss-up. And these teams, they go hard in it day in and day out. Especially with the travel, we talk about that, and they don't play. They definitely come out to win, and it's so interesting to watch. So if you're not watching the tournament, what is that? May 9th through 14th, probably got the date for our show.
March.
Yeah. May. Oh, my God.
All the same.
Words are hard. Yeah. It's my M's and B's and all of those. March 9th through 14th. If you're not watching Conference USA basketball, then what the heck are you doing? Okay? So just like I said, what games should we watch this week for the inside?
Yeah, talking about Delaware, and I didn't even talk about WKU. How about their performance Saturday night? You know, obviously they played Middle Tennessee. They won by 5 a few weeks ago on the road. Middle Tennessee was definitely come for some revenge, but WKU ended up edging it out 82-80. Tegan Moore came back off of injury. He'd missed probably several weeks now. He came back and scored 28, right back where he left off. So really excited to watch this WKU at Delaware matchup Wednesday night, ESPN Plus at 6:00 Central Time. That'll be 7 Eastern local time at Delaware. See if Delaware can win their 4th straight. WKU coming off a high against a rivalry win. That'll be really fun to watch. But then you also got to look at both of Liberty's games this week. They have FIU at home as the only CUSA game Thursday night, February 19th. That is on CBS Sports Network at 5 p.m. Central, 6 local time, Eastern time. FIU coming off a 1-1 week. Easily could have been a 2-0 week if things fell the right way against Delaware at home there. So, yeah, Liberty at this point, everyone's giving them their best shot. So, you know, it's 6 games left. I'm going to be watching all of these for Liberty's sake. And then you got Liberty against WKU again on Saturday. Yeah, I think WKU went into, I know this was last year, but first game of the season last year, the last time WKU played in Lynchburg, WKU handed it to Liberty. And it was kind of a shock. So you never know. You never know. WKU's got Tegan Moore back in the lineup. He's an elite scorer. Playmaker. So again, we'll see how Liberty is back in Lynchburg. But those are the 3 games. And that one's Saturday at 3:00 Central, 4 Eastern time on ESPN Plus. Got some good basketball this weekend. I'm excited to watch.
Can shake up the standings a little bit for sure. But just as we talk about how Liberty is on this hot winning streak, Louisiana Tech on the women's side are just the same. They're on a 12-game winning streak. They are 12-1 in conference play right now. And they are just absolutely killing it. They had a nail biter on Saturday against Missouri State. They won that one 68-67. And shout out to Paris Bradley in that game because they won it by free throws. And Paris Bradley came up with the two clutch free throws to propel them for that 68-67 win. I mean, I already said this last week. That game this past weekend for Louisiana Tech was going to, you know, be a test for them, I feel like. FIU is doing really well right now. Missouri State, we already know, is at the top of the standings. They're doing well. But that Missouri State game was just neck and neck. It was just a battle. It was just very offensive heavy, of course, defensive as well, especially if you're trying to get some stops. But you just have two teams that score, that can make shots, and tough shots at that. And Louisiana Tech, they pulled that one out. And I know that just probably speaks to Brooke's story, where she says just the unselfishness, and, you know, you're passing around. When you have a team like Missouri State who rely heavily on Kamen Beckermeyer, yeah. You have, you know, Lainey Douglas, who does well for them. Myesha Washington, whenever she gets in, she does really good. Faithfully also does well. But when you have somebody that's scoring 20-plus points every game and you're looking for them to get the ball, it gets kind of hard sometimes for Missouri State. But Louisiana Tech, when you spread the ball out, anybody on the box score, you know, when you look and that Brooke puts in, they're scoring at least one bucket is hard. You know, they're passing the ball around. That's hard to defend. They're attacking the paint. So that is just Liberty's on an amazing streak right now. I mean, Thursday when they went against FIU, they won out 171-49. But I mean, even in the first half, it was such a lower scoring game. I'm like looking at the score. I'm like, we're only at 30 points and we're about to go into halftime. I'm like, what is going on here? It was so, you know, defense heavy. But I mean, in that second half, La Tech held FIU to 21.4 field goal percentage. And that just made them, you know, command this 71-49 victory over the Panthers. Alexia Weaver was just doing so well for Louisiana Tech this week. I think she scored 14, and that was their highest, you know, they passed the ball around. 14 being the highest that one person scores. So I always feel like it's 14, 12, 11, 11. Like, you know, that's just how
Brian Williams.
But she was their highest score this week because she scored 14 in both of those games. But yeah, Louisiana Tech is just on an amazing streak. And I mean, those was both home games for them. And we already knew that home court advantage was, you know, probably going to be definitely an advantage for them. And it definitely was, because what, they're 13-1 at home right now overall. They are amazing at home. And we talk about that. I think each season just for them, Louisiana Tech is really good at home. And, you know, sometimes they can not be so good away. But I mean, even right now in conference play, they're 6-0. On the road. And that is amazing for them. So just on a good winning streak right now, just unselfish play. And it's just so fun to watch, just see how they interact with each other. Brooke Store definitely has a good core group of girls, and you can definitely see it and feel it when they're on the court. But I mean, Middle Tennessee, they bounced back from their 0-2 weekend. This weekend, they went 2-0 against Jack State and Kennesaw State. So on Thursday, they won that one 57-48 over Jack State. And then 71-53 over Kennesaw State. And Middle Tennessee's freshmen are just doing so well for them. Macy Pfeiffer, she was our freshman of the week this week. I think she averaged, 15 points and 8 rebounds for them. I mean, Blair Bogg is what? She had 17 points and 16 rebounds, I think, against Jack State on Thursday. So we always talk about how well she does for them, especially when she gets double-doubles. If Blair Bogg is... and you're Middle Tennessee, and she's getting a double-double, 9 times out of 10, Middle Tennessee is winning.
Yeah.
And I think that is absolutely just insane for that team, because, you know, if she's going off, it's just a high probability that we got this one, you know, in the bag. But they're 9-4, and they moved up into second place. I think Sam Houston was in second place last week when, you know, those conclusion of games ended. But just Sam Houston is even right there. They're at 8-4. They had a 1-1 weekend this week. FIU is Sam Houston's kryptonite. FIU has won this series this year 2-0. But I mean, even then, it was such a close game. Like on Saturday, FIU won that 67-65. And we all know that Sam Houston's like a low scoring, you know, team. But for them to get even 65 points is just amazing for them. But I mean, what, Rima Collins, she posted a game-high 24 points. She shot 9 for 15 from the field. We always talk about Rima Collins and what she does for FIU, the Panthers. But, I mean, Paris Atkins, when she's on, she does really well for them. So they have, you know, some shooters and some defenders that does really well, and that fits FIU system, and that is what's working for them. They're in at 8-5. But, I mean, Sam Houston, they won against Missouri State 74-67, and that one was a tight game up until the fourth quarter. That was just a back-and-forth battle as well. You know, Sam Houston, they get steals, they get rebounds, and that's what really helped them this game. And just Fanta Kone went off in this game. And I think I had a note for her. Yes, she scored 14 of her team high, 19 points in the fourth quarter alone, shooting 3 from 4 from the field and 7 from 9 from the charity stripe. So she literally had that one for Sam Houston on Saturday. Yes, and that was a big just game for her. I mean, I was looking at the scores because I always have the stats live with the games when I watch it. The addition ESPN, I love it. But I was like, wow, they're really holding like Fanta like to, you know, low scoring. I think she only had, what was that? Math is hard. 3, 5, 5 points.
Oh, you're resting in.
And I was like, wow. But then she really turned up in the second half. I was like, okay, there she goes. Like, she's starting to, you know, feel it. She's starting to get some openings. But as always, she gets it up with steals. I think we were looking for top plays, and it's just like, Fantacone steal. And I'm like, of course. Like, this, she's one of, I think, probably the best, you know, defensive person they've had in a while. She's really up there in steals as far as, you know, their records and their stats as far as the Sam Houston as a whole. So just really good on them. But I have to give a shout out to UTEP. They went 1-1 this week. They took down Delaware 79-72 on the road. And we talked about how Delaware is really good and they're up there. I mean, they shot up to 6-7 even before we even interview Andea for them when they had that winning streak. So right now they're 6-7, middle of the pack. It's still anybody's game. But UTEP is now, hey, don't talk about these records because, I mean, we still got 6 games left and anything can happen between now and then. But UTEP is 3-10 overall in conference play, but they won that one 79-76 and they have 5 players score in double figures. So,
wow.
I mean, UTEP went into Delaware and was like, we're just done. We can't do this anymore. And same with UTEP, WKU finally got another conference win. They're 2-11 on the season. I know they're having, you know, not the season that they probably hoped for or wanted or expected. But they, you know, went against Jack State at home. And Sema Kadur, she led the Lady Toppers with 16 points and 4 rebounds in that one. But I mean, just even overall on the season, she has been doing so well for them. She has led them 8 times this season just for, you know, game highs that time and recording 60 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. I think just overall on the weekend. But hey, WKU, this could finally just be the push. UTEP can be the push that they need to, you know, go on a winning game streak. I mean, we've seen it with Delaware, both men's and women's. We've seen it with FIU, with Liberty. It's just, you just never know. You know, New Mexico State even has, you know, some winning game streaks. And you always get surprised. And I say this every week too. Sometimes I look at these scores and I'm like, what?
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But, like, you get – shoot, all they need to do is get in. Mm-hmm. I know this year is a little different where in the past we've had everyone making the tournaments.
With 12 teams now, we're only taking 10. Yes.
So those bottom 2 teams won't make it. All they care about is getting in. Yes. You get in, anything can happen.
Uh-huh. New support.
Any of these teams, like, you talk about Sam Houston's defense and Fantacone, you know, going off there in the fourth quarter, like, teams are going to want that, but those are also the teams that those are going to be scary down the stretch. That even a La Tech team, like, they're going to be like, okay, you know, we know these teams well now and they know us well now. They're going to be tough games to come by. So you get in that tournament, anything can happen. Who at that point you're 0-0, but no one cares about your record. No one cares about your seed. You're in there to play a game, both teams on the court, neutral site, like you said. It's going to be fun.
Yes. It's really going to be an exciting week, I just think, for both men's and women's. You know, last year, I feel like we already knew who was kind of at the top, who were going to be, you know, on those Friday, Saturday games. This year, I don't. I mean, of course, you have, like, Liberty and La Tech, who, as of right now, we're expecting, you know, they should.
Yeah.
But any one of these teams can beat them. And like I said, it's on a neutral court. All you have to do is get hot at the right time and just magic happens, I feel like. So it'll be very, very fun. But some just exciting games to look forward to this week on the women's side. I think Delaware at FIU is going to be a good game. FIU is in at 8-5. Delaware is at 6-7. But Delaware, not their record. You know, we talk about this, how they go out and they know we're the underdogs, especially road wins for them. We're going into them. And FIU is really good at home as well. You know, I talk about that a lot. But Delaware is just a team that you cannot, you know, doubt. And I mean, even when Delaware played against FIU earlier in the season, they won that one 51-48 at home. So I know FIU is like, absolutely not. That is not about to happen. We're not about to lose this series 0-2. But for Delaware, it's just chip. We beat them once, you know, we could beat them again, but it is hard to beat the same team twice, as we always know. And that one's on ESPN Plus at 10 a.m. That's an early game. So hey, if you're sitting at your desk and you're bored at work, turn on ESPN Plus and watch them.
Come on now.
Another game to look at, this one is later on in the day, Liberty at Missouri State. ESPN Plus at 6:30, Liberty won that one. That was 60-52, so that was a very close game, and Liberty won that one at home, and now they're traveling to Missouri State. Yep. I know Missouri State was probably, you know, a little bit upset they went 0-2 this past weekend. They were probably looking at least to go 1-1, of course, 2-0, but I think this is just a brand new week for them, and they're probably leaving that in the past, and we need to start winning games again. So this one is a big week for Missouri State, especially when you're going against teams like Liberty and Delaware, who in Conference USA right now, you know, is they can win, they can lose. You just never know. It just depends on how well your team is playing, how well their team is playing. You know, you just never know, like we talk about. Yeah. But that's Thursday's games. For Saturday, I have to go with the rival games. I always think those are fun. Those are interesting. Missouri State is at WKU. That's ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. Middle Tennessee, they won that one big, 81-58. But with WKU finally get this conference win, is that what's going to push them to, you know, get that confidence, to get that winning streak?
Yeah.
And they're at home, too, so that's already an advantage. So I think this one will probably be a little bit closer than it was earlier in the season. I'm assuming I really want to. That's such a good game that, you know, 100 miles of hate. I love that rivalry. It's just, you know, it's just rich in history, that one.
It is. I love seeing the blue and red, too. Yes. Like when they're both wear their blue and red jerseys, it pops out. It looks good. And you know it's a rivalry game.
For sure. But then we also got UTEP and New Mexico State. That is on ESPN Plus at 3 p.m., the Battle of I-10. UTEP won that one at home, 79-69, 10-point game, not too bad. So, hey, well, you have to go out to New Mexico State. And New Mexico State has been knocking off a lot of our top contenders at home. So this will be a huge one for New Mexico State just to get another one in the win column. They're on a 3-game losing streak right now. But like I said, if you get this win, it could propel you to get many more wins, you know, the next 2 or 3 games.
I'll add too, that's a doubleheader that day.
Yep.
UTEP's playing at New Mexico State on the women's side at 3 o'clock. UTEP's playing at New Mexico State on the men's side at 8 o'clock. So a little UTEP-New Mexico State rivalry doubleheader action. Sorry, I wanted to add that.
Oh, no.
As well.
Those are always fun. I used to love when I was in college when we had doubleheaders all the time for basketball. It's just you're staying in the gym for a long time.
You want to see
some players. Yeah.
It's always fun. I feel like more of our team should do that.
No doubt.
Putting in a plug.
I think the scheduling worked out in their favor this year. I think that's a great thing to do for these big rivalry games, especially in the UTEP-New Mexico State. Could be the last time they're playing in conference play for Ringo. So.
Wow, I forgot about that. That was so deep in my mind. It's going to get back there. We're not thinking about that.
No,
and so
we're not, but they might think about it a little bit. But yeah, it's going to be good this week.
It'll be fun. It's some good ones. It's some fun ones. But hey, as you're looking forward to this week, look forward to this interview with Delaware's Justin Fernandez, and it's brought to you by Victory Snacks. Joining us on the CUSA Insider Podcast is Delaware's senior guard, Justin Fernandez. Thank you for joining us today.
Appreciate you for having me.
You just won Player of the Week this past week. You had 4 straight games with 20-plus points. Are you feeling in the zone right now, or is it just preparation meeting opportunity?
I definitely think as a team, I think that we're hitting a stride. And, I think, you know, me obviously being a big part of that, I think it's all working out for us. So, yeah, I think team success more than anything, I think we're catching a stride on that.
What's been the biggest key to your scoring surge? Is it shot selection, confidence, tempo, or anything else?
Coach has been on me, you know, all year about, you know, continuing to get downhill, continuing to hunt paint touches and get into the free throw line more. So I think that's maybe where the extra scoring has came about.
You're obviously a senior now. Do you feel like the game has just slowed down for you?
I definitely think, you know, I'm starting to figure it out a little bit more, you know, like learning my spots, learning where we are as an offense, and, you know, just like, you know, what helps us win. So definitely, I guess I could say it's slowing down a little bit for sure.
The Blue Hens are on a 3-game winning streak after a tough start to conference play. What has flipped for you guys?
I think just a better buy-in, for myself, from the guys, from the coaching staff, and just a sense of belief that I just think that everyone has, you know, just with the group that we have. And, we've been at, you know, like you said, we kind of didn't start off conference play, you know, the way we wanted to, but I think that we are definitely taking the right steps now. And, we lost some close games early on in conference play. And I think that now we're starting to learn how to win those close games and become a better basketball team.
Speaking of close games, Macon Emory hit an amazing buzzer beater win on the road in Miami this past week. What did that win feel like for you and the team?
It was great. I mean, it's one of them games where, we were up double digits with 4 minutes to go, and you know they ended up coming back a little bit and making it tough, but I'm definitely glad that we got the win. Macon came up big for us with offensive rebounds, so definitely glad that that happened and we got the win down in Miami.
It's Delaware's first year in Conference USA. What makes the league so challenging night in and night out?
Definitely good teams. I'd say another thing is just like, you know, like the long travel days. You know, we kind of, I just say more so just like just the traveling for sure. The traveling kind of makes it a little bit tougher, but I think that's definitely brought us together. You know, we've kind of had to really stick with each other because we're just on the road so much. And I definitely think that's brought us together as a team. And I think that's allowing us to, you know, catch a good stride when it matters most.
You and Christian Bliss are both newcomers to Delaware, and you guys are both leading the team in scoring. So what's your relationship like on and off the court?
Yeah, Bliss, that's my roommate. He's probably, he's somebody who, you know, coming here, that was, we kind of like made the decision, not like necessarily together, but like, you know, it was like, hey, like what you doing? You know, are we going to Delaware? And, you know, our relationship, you know, us being roommates, we kind of, you know, we talk a lot, you know, we during the summer, you know, we were really getting to know each other. And I just think now that we're able to, like, you know, be out there on the court together, I definitely think that the off the court relationship is leading to the on the court, success and chemistry as well, you know, as of late. So definitely glad to be here with him.
How important is momentum heading into the race for the conference tournament right now?
Definitely. You know, with college basketball, I think you just want to really, really hit your stride at the right time, I think. And, you know, obviously we didn't have the success early that we wanted. Maybe our record isn't, you know, the prettiest, but I definitely think that we're hitting a stride at the right time. And I think we're playing our best basketball when it matters most.
I want to ask a little fun question. Just who on the team keeps the energy up in the locker room or in the court or just during practice? Who is that just go-to person for energy-wise?
Who is that person? I'd say I like to bring a lot of energy. I think everybody kind of like brings like a different version of like energy. I think we have Alex McFadden. I think he brings a lot of energy. He's one of our walk-ons, but you know, he's maybe one of the biggest parts of the team, you know, that we have, you know, just keeping everybody together, making Emery, obviously Christian Bliss, you know, I just think everybody brings some. But actually, now that I'm speaking, the main energy guy is definitely Jaden Taylor, the freshman. Jaden Taylor brings energy every single day on and off the court. So you're definitely glad to have him on the team.
I'm glad you said yourself, because I was about to say, you can say yourself if that's who it is. So
I think I might be one of them.
Perfect. No, I love that. Is there a part of your game you've been really focused on improving this year?
Throughout the year, you know, like I said earlier, as coach has been on me, just trying to get downhill and, you know, just be at the free throw line a little bit more. I think, you know, these last couple of games, I've really tried to make that emphasis, and it's definitely worked out for us. And, you know, we've been shooting the ball pretty well at the free throw line. So I'm just glad that I've been able to get there more than anything.
What's your pregame routine during this hot streak? Is there anything different that you've been doing, or you just been keeping it the same?
I just try to keep everything the same. I listen to podcasts before the game, and then I'll play some music before the game, but nothing like superstitious or anything like that.
Okay, you can listen to this podcast now before your game. I think it'll give you some good luck.
All right, we'll see.
All right, we always ask this question on the CUSA Insider Podcast. We call it CUSA Eats. So if I was to come to Delaware, what would you tell me to eat at?
It's a place off Main Street called Santa Fe. It's a Mexican restaurant. I got some pretty good tacos. I definitely say go here.
Okay, what type of meat are you eating on tacos? Chicken, steak, barbacoa?
Steak or shrimp.
Oh, okay.
I like shrimp a little bit more, but the steak is pretty good too, depending on what you like.
Get both. Yeah, combination.
Get both. Yeah.
Is there a player that you just look up to or mold your game after?
Nobody like super specific. I really like CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard when they were both in Portland. Obviously, I like them, you know, still. But really, really, when they were in Portland, I definitely liked their backcourt duo. So, I definitely say probably them too.
And my last and final question, with this hot streak, just what do you want to say to the fans right now?
It feels good to win. But, you know, just as a group, we're still desperate. We're still on the hunt. We're still trying to fight our way back. So, to the fans, you know, I appreciate the support, but, you know, we're still desperate and we're still coming back.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck this week and good luck for the rest of conference play.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, Conference USA fans, that's all we have for you on today's episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. As always, I'm your host, Jessica Raffer, because I feel like I always forget to say my name. But hey, follow us on social media, CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. For all of our audio listeners, you already know, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And for our YouTube people, thank you so much for just enjoying us, our visual things that we like to offer. And if you're not on seeing us on YouTube, go to YouTube, type us Conference USA in the bar, and then just look up our podcast playlist. See of our beautiful faces. Jesus Christ, words are so hard. But as always, I'm your host, Jessica Raffer. See y'all next time.